Changes of leadership are something that we're all familiar with. In our civic life, of course, we have elections. We elect new people. And so it is out with the old, in with the new. That's a part of what it means to be a part of a democracy. In our church life as well, I am the interim pastor. We have a committee that is hard at work now to select the new pastor. And it will be out with the old guy and in with the newer model. That's the way it works in life. And it's true on all kinds of levels. Our children and young people know the soccer team. You know, you may have one coach, and before you know it, that person gives it up, and you have a new coach. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not so good. There are changes in all sorts of situations with leadership. And sometimes things continue the way they have been, and sometimes they are changed. Now, what we have in this account of the baptism of Jesus is a rather dramatic change in leadership. Now, you have to understand that John the Baptist, whom we think as something of a minor figure in the Christian faith, nevertheless, in his time was quite significant, particularly to his followers. He had disciples that, in fact, continued for a period of time. He had crowds that came out to hear his message and embrace that message, which was a calling them back to the faith of Israel, to those things that were important. But in this passage, Luke, the writer of the gospel, as he tells the story, very clearly wants us to see that there is a dramatic change between the baptism that John was performing for the forgiveness of sin, and indeed the message of John, and the one that he prepared the way for, the Christ, Jesus. Now, this is an interesting passage. All of the Gospels, when they tell the story of John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus, kind of downplay the importance of John. And it's done in different ways, because from the Christian standpoint, it's time to move on to Jesus. In this passage, as we read, for example, it says that John says, the one is coming, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, when the people wanted to make him the Messiah. There is that change. Interestingly, in this passage, we have a shift in the account of John. We don't actually hear that John was the one who baptized Jesus. Rather, it shifts to John baptizing people and what he is telling the people to do, to that account of how Herod got mad at John the Baptist and he shut him up. He locked him up. He arrested him. And then it moves to this account of the baptism of Jesus. And it begins by saying, after all the people had been baptized, and Jesus too had been baptized, kind of downplaying that, then suddenly the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now, that is a dramatic shift. It is a shift because the message of John was one message. But now God is doing something dramatically new. Jesus is not just another prophet. He's not just some guy that got some good ideas about God and was going to share them with the world. But the gospel writer wants us to see clearly that this is an act of God. God is doing something in this baptism. John's not important. It's all about what God is doing, because God is going to do something that is brand new in the world. God has been active in the world since creation. But now, in the fullness of time, when humanity has reached a certain point, now God moves into this situation to incredibly bind himself with us. Bind himself in a way that we can grasp something of who God is. He's doing something to come to us and show us what it is to truly be human, what human beings are called to become. And he's coming in order to inaugurate this kingdom of God, this realm of God that Jesus is all about, one that is unfolding and will continue to unfold until God is all in all, and all of creation is as God intends that to be. And so what we hear is, the heavens are opened. See, in other words, there's not a barrier between life as we know it and heaven, some distant place somewhere, some God on a throne, whatever. God is stooping down. God is entering the stream of human history. The heavens are opened. Now, I think that's what that business with John is all about. You notice it says that Herod shut up John. He shut him up in a prison. And then right after that, God opens the heavens. There's that dramatic contrast. And it's that the way of God, the action of God, cannot be squelched. It cannot be opposed. The human powers have nothing that can stop what God is about to do. You can try to shut up John the Baptist, but God is going to have another word. It's the exact same thing that happens at the end of Jesus' life. You know, the authorities, what do you do with Jesus? How do we get rid of him? Well, you nail him to a cross. You put him in the tomb. And God says, I'm going to roll the stone away. And, you know, I love that old Easter hymn, He Arose. Do you remember that? Up from the grave, He arose. I won't sing it for you. But it has a great, great verse in the second verse, I think, of it. It says, death could not hold its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. I love that image. It's of the power of God. The power of God over death. The power of God over sin. That's what we see here. That's what's being inaugurated. The heavens are open, and the Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit empowers Jesus in his life. And that Holy Spirit, in the Gospel of Luke and also in Luke's second volume, which is the book of Acts, you find that continually talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led the people to do this and it led the church to do that. It's the power that energizes the people of God. The Holy Spirit is given. And then you have the word spoken to Jesus. You are my son, beloved. With you I am well pleased. Now, I don't believe that that is just saying to Jesus, I'm proud of you, son. You know, you've lived a good life so far. You've become what I hoped you would be, and I want you to continue in that way. What God is saying, he is saying to humanity, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. That's the whole purpose in coming, entering the stream of human history, because I loved you. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. It is the word of peace, the word of love, the word of forgiveness, the word of reconciliation. You are my beloved. That is the good news. Not everybody was ready for that. John the Baptist, you know, he's expecting the judgment and the fire. And there's an interesting passage in the 7th chapter of Luke where John sends messengers to Jesus to ask, are you the one or should we expect another? And Jesus responds, go back and tell John what you see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The poor have good news spoken to them. This is the gospel of Christ. This is the good news. Now, I share that with you, and I'd like us to think and shift a little bit to the meaning of our own baptism. I don't know if you've thought a lot about your baptism. For years, I didn't think much about my baptism. Frankly, I don't remember it very well. I was 4.5 months old, you know, when it happened. I went back and looked at my baptism certificate because I had forgotten. I was baptized on the 10th of May, some year that's been lost. But anyway, the 10th of May in the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Germantown, Pennsylvania, and Reverend McDonald was the one who baptized me. I never thought much about my baptism for years. Yeah, I was baptized as a child. You know, other people are baptized and stuff. I don't know what your experience is. But there's a powerful word about that baptism. Sometimes we think, well, it's about the forgiveness of sins, which it is. But it is more than that, particularly with the baptism of a child. It is a matter of we are baptized into this realm of God. And the one who does the baptizing is the same one that baptized Jesus, not John the Baptist. Oh, he may have performed the water and all that stuff. But ultimately, what the message of this gospel is that God is the one that baptizes us. And the good news is that God, whenever there is a minister performs a baptism, God is the one who actually does the baptism. You know, my last church, I had the privilege, because I was there for 29 years, and was able to baptize the children of some of those that I baptized when I was first there. Now, that's a neat thing. But that doesn't mean anything at all. I wasn't the one that did it. It's God. It's all about God. The God who reaches out at us, and he invites us, gives us this blessing of being a part of the community, of this new life that he is creating. Emily, and she's not here. I look over. Emily, in her prayer, had some beautiful words that struck me about the flow of the Holy Spirit in the new life in Christ, and what that is about. And it's true. This is what we are invited to be a part of. And we are also called to respond to that, to act in a way that recognizes who we are. It's all about our identity. We are children of God, loved by God, claimed by God, and all of humanity is that, if we can recognize that. And we are called to respond, to live out our lives in the ways that glorify the gospel, to follow Jesus in the way that he lived, to speak out and act out for justice and peace and kindness and compassion, trusting always that the day will come when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and all of creation is the way that that is. I heard a woman on TV being interviewed this week who was the daughter of immigrant parents, and she was born in this country. And she said from the time that she was a child, it was assumed that she would live a life that somehow contributed to this society, that made the world better because she was here, because that's who she was. That's who she was. And that is so true of our faith. That's what our baptism means. It means that we have been given the gift from God, that we are loved, that we are claimed. And with that comes the call to give back in love to this God who has blessed us through the way that we live, through the values that we hold, the things that we commit ourselves to, the things that we care about. And that is what life is about. And that is how we live. We have been blessed by this God who calls us to recognize our baptism or the claim that God places upon our life, whether we've been baptized or not, the gift that God gives to us, and how he invites us to this wonderful adventure of life in the realm of God. May God bless us all as we seek to live up to who we are. Amen.